This is Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. Joining me tonight, AJ Applegarth. What's up, man?
What's happening? Not much. It hurts to move, but I'm not here to make it about me, so let's talk baseball.
What? When is it never? Not opening that door. Dab, what's up, man?
It's never,
hey,
never.
How's it going? AJ, what happened?
Oh my god!
What's hurting?
So,
his ego. No, don't show that it's on camera. Absolutely not.
You dick. Jesus.
You look like you're about to stand up and like moon the entire.
No, it's not just my ass. So I went to the Bantam Jeep Festival this weekend, up in Butler, Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh area.
Goodness.
And
so for the 15 people that weren't there, what is that?
It's basically a celebration of Jeeps. Bantam was the first 15 Jeep made, and there was lots of war, like World War II, World War I Jeeps, other tricked out, hooked up Jeeps. There's a bunch of off-road courses and stuff like that. So,
wow, you know,
it's all man stuff you wouldn't understand. So,
oh no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I hate it when you outman me with such incredibly exciting things like Jeep Fest.
The manliest thing you can do there is
fall and bruise yourself.
Barbie Jeep race, which
Barbie Jeep race.
Power wheels, that's for children, and you basically take the battery out, take all the gearing out, so it just rolls freely, and you get at the top of a big hill and you race down it against a bunch of other drunken adults. And
I was gonna say, this sounds
you try
super,
to
super
not
safe.
Die and I didn't die, but I totally showboated when I won my heat and went out like this, because I was Batman, because you cannot spell Bantam without Batman. Think about it. And I'm correct. And as I was showboating and then went to grab the wheel at roughly 30, 35 miles an hour, I lost control and figured, well, I'm going to not hit all these people here, so I'm just going to bail and turn the wheel, and landed flat on my side.
And so did you just turn this story into a hero origin story? I just want to make sure I caught that little caveat there. So you saved everybody's life, and thus, okay, so you're here. I got it. Okay,
I'm a hero.
Because all right, that's when you got it. All right, I just want to make sure I understood it. All right. Yes. My apologies. Continue.
So my lower half, from my waist down my leg, looks like South America in bruise form and shape, and then above, from my waistline up to my near lower nipple here, looks like Grimace is trying to break out of my skin and continue to eat me alive, but from the outside now. So
got it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want anybody at home to visualize that, but good, thanks.
Yep, that's what I do.
He sent pictures to us, and believe me, nobody wants to see that. I don't even want to see it. I'm sad I opened up.
I didn't send
that
you the one of me cupping yet either, so I don't think I will. Because
nope, we're good. I've seen enough of AJ for a long time. All right, so We got a good show tonight. We're going to be talking about some hits and misses so far on the season. What we got right, what we got wrong, why. It's just a fun conversation to have. A little ownership of, taking credit for, what we did get and what we didn't get, like the own up on stuff here. So, but before we get into that, just want to remind everybody, hit that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, leave those comments. We appreciate it. And of course, go over to fantasysixpack.net/plans where you can become an all access member to Fantasy Six Pack. You're going to get access to our most accurate baseball rankings, our award winning football rankings, our draft cheat sheets. You're going to get access to our football projections that are coming out, our DFS and betting content during the seasons for both baseball and football. And then, of course, our Discord channel is where it's at. That's where you get your custom league questions answered by none other than the fantastic analysts over at Fantasy Six Pack. So without further ado, let's jump into things here. So we're going to start with some... Let's start with the hits that we had. What we got right. AJ, you wanna lead the way here?
Let's do this. So this will be like Joe said, players that they picked picked one way or the other, but they got their pick right, whether they hit on this player and decided that they were going to be good or not going to be good. That's where we're going. So Joe, let's start with your first gentleman here.
Yeah. So the first one I've got on the list here right now is Anthony Volpe. And, so what I did here is I pulled my hitting rankings from the preseason and compared it to the Fantasy Pros, what they call the value based rank or whatever it is that they do, as of this morning. So things might have changed. We do this Thursday night, so I pulled it Thursday morning, whatever. But as of this morning, I had Volpe ranked 111th hitter, and he pulled back as the 114th hitter on Fantasy Pros. So pretty dead spot on. I know a lot of people were like all in on Volpe. Once he got the job, he skyrocketed up drafts. I did take him in a lot of drafts. He hasn't really, I was actually kind of surprised he was actually 114th. I'll be honest with you. He's sort of, outside of steals, he's not really done a whole lot. 14 steals, but his batting average is all the way down to 192. He has hit 9 bombs. So, sure, he'll be on possibly 20-30 pace. That's not... But he's got to get that batting average up, man. I don't know what to do. So it's a hit as far as I'm really close on the rankings, but man, it feels like a miss. If you drafted him, it hurts to have him on your roster because that batting average is such a drain. And I'm shocked to this day that the Yankees have not sent him back down with that horrendous batting average that he has.
And called up who?
Injuries are bad for them, but I don't know, man.
But look who the thing is that it's they just had a whole thing about, the people that Yankees have cast off are now all hot, right? You have Aaron Hicks,
right? Now we talked about him last week. How funny is that?
And then, I think O'Hearn is taking off. All these, kind of these cast offs are now heating up. I think the thing is with Volpe, right? I was excited for Volpe. Sorry. I was excited first that I was hoping I'd never had to pronounce his last name again because I keep messing it up. I was excited. I got him, past the sixth round in two of my drafts. I wasn't going to pay above. I wasn't going to pay above that. And I was like, God, this is a steal. He's going to have some ups and downs. But like you said, other than these steals, which let's be honest, you can pretty much pick up steals all you want right now.
Yeah.
It's just not. And I thought, if he's stealing, he's going to be manufacturing runs. Little did I know, we're going to have a historically bad offensive Yankees team.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, Judge gets hurt, which really helps the situation. So, yeah, there's not really the upside there. If in Dynasty, still a huge play for sure. Absolutely. But But, you know, when he won that job, oh my God, his price must have gone up about 50 or 75 spots.
It did. I can't even remember where I drafted him. I did get him late in like TGFBI because he was going super late right at that point. He hadn't gotten the job yet. TGFBI drafts are pretty early, but there was one draft later in the year where I was just like, ah, screw it, click, and I did it. Right. Like I paid the premium price for it, and he's no longer on that team. Like he's a worthless player for that squad, so I dumped him a long time ago. I mean, we say like who are they gonna call up, but like Peraza still sitting out there. Yeah, he came up and did miserable in 12 games, but like
He's still batting
306 in the minors. Like
you're 100% right. And the thing is that I completely
said this before.
I forgot the obvious again, but you know, I was a huge fan of his doppelganger, the other Peraza, or it was Waldo, right? He stunk up the place too, and he got sent down, and he got called up I think the next day because there was an injury. But yeah, you're right. Peraza absolutely should be called up, and I can't believe I keep forgetting that. I mean, heck, at this point
he did get called up for like a cup of coffee again,
but he
didn't play, and so they put him back down. I don't know what the Yankees are doing this year. It's baffling to me that they're giving him this long of a leash. I'm really surprised. But
I mean, look,
at least my ranking was close on, you know, it does feel bad that, you know, like,
right.
I was, like I said, I was kind of shocked that it was that close when I thought of, but I figured it'd be a good name to start with. People, you know, still kind of interested in this kid. And I am too. Like I'm very curious to see if he'll finally turn things around. Cause I mean, I think the talent is there. It's just, man, a lot of swing and miss right now.
Yeah.
And as you know, you can subscribe today on our website because we have the number one most accurate rankers. As you just found out, we may not get it right, but our rankings are on point. So subscribe today. AJ, go ahead.
I was going to say, so who's your first hit here that you have listed?
Nolan Gorman. And the reason why this is a hit is because the thing that I called out in our team previews, and I said 100 times, if you've listened at all, I talked about how Nolan Gorman worked in the offseason to get rid to fix a hole in his swing, especially against high fastballs. And I said, look, this is a substantial change. And he looked, I wouldn't say great during spring training initially, and then he kind of started picking up and we started seeing some stuff, and now he's exactly kind of this completely changed hitter in 63 games. So last year he only played 89 games. All right, he was looking like he's definitely gonna be platooned a lot. Mm-hmm. In the 89 games last year, he would hit 14 home runs, 35 RBIs. In the 63 games he's played so far, 15 home runs, 46 RBIs, and almost a 30% increase in both batting average and OBP, with almost an 80% increase. I'm sorry, 80 point increase in slugging. So the breakout's here for Nolan Gorman. Yeah, he's in a slump right now, and I think he sort of broke out of it. But I think, again, I would hang my hat on being able to see that these are, you know, significant changes that he's made. And he's 23. Yeah. That's the part that, you know, I keep forgetting, because he seems like he's been in the, you know, major slash on these prospect lists for, you know, I got prospect fatigue from him. But he's 23, and he's already hit 15 bombs. Again, this is a guy who had 25 in 2021 in all of his, you know, minor league stops. So 15 in the majors. I mean, could we be flirting with a 30 home run hitter? If that's the case, then sign me up for Nolan Gorman. Yeah. especially in St. Louis. We're going to talk about St. Louis here again, but this Nolan Gorman piece, I definitely will hang my hat on.
Yeah, I mean, slump is right. I mean, a 150 batting average in June right now, not good. I'm riding out because my second base position is horrible, and I picked him up, and I'm like, I keep looking at the waiver, like, is there just somebody I can pick up to plug in for now until he kind of gets out of it? But there's not, so I'm just like, okay, Gorman's it. Let's hope he breaks out of it soon. I think he will. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe pitchers have caught up and like figured out the hole in his swing now. And, you know, but he can just, you know, professional hitter got to figure out what they have figured out and just kind of
right. play the going game. Back and forth. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought he was a talented hitter. He just had to put it all together, and he did early on. So I'm hoping that'll really work for him. It's funny, you say it's a hit for you. Like, I was way off in the ranking, and I think I'm not alone, right? I mean, I don't think anybody ranked him anywhere close to where he is now. Like, I had him in the 200s as far as hitter
wow.
rank.
Wow.
His VBR on Fantasy Pros is 34th. So
wow,
massive. See,
that would have been a fun game, because if you would have asked me what his ranking was even now, I would have said like 90s.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe in the 105s, and 34th, that's nuts, considering that's up to date with his slump.
I pulled it this morning.
Wow, considering how bad he's been this month, that just tells you where he was last month.
Yeah, probably absolutely crazy. So
all right, yeah. Joe, who you got as your next hit?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My next hit here is it's Bobby Witt, and I had him as the 20th ranked hitter on the board. He's right now 21, and I know, still a good hitter, right? Still, you're fine, like 20, 21, whatever. The reason why I wanted to call this out is there were people drafting him in the first round, and I went, hell no. There was a reason for it. His contact skills were not there. And yes, I get why you would draft him in the first round. He's a potential 30-30 guy, right? And that's massive, right? But you were getting a 30-30 guy on a bad offense. So runs and RBI might not be where you want them. Like, you're hoping for 80. He may not get there. Let's be real. He may not even get the 30 home runs now, right? But his batting average is not where you want it to be for a first round draft pick.
Right. Like, that's the key.
If you wanted a 30-30 player with a mediocre batting average, why not take Cedric Mullins in the first round? He's got a better batting average than Bobby Witt, and he's already done 30-30 once. He's probably not going to be on pace to get it this year. He's hurt now. He wasn't on pace before, but like, he's the same profile-ish type of player. I get it. You know, Witt's younger, so you know, you think he's going to make a jump, and like, the ceiling's there, and I get it. He's an immense talent. I wasn't buying into the first round hype. You know, I know position eligibility played a big role in that too. I steered clear of it. And, you know, people were taking him like 7th, 8th in a lot of, you know, I saw maybe go as late as like 10, 11. Very rarely did I see him slip into the second round. I was out on that. And I believe we said that in the position preview. It's been a while. I think that was late February we talked about that. But that sounds familiar. I think I remember saying that I was not in on the ADP for Bobby Witt for the exact same reasons that I'm saying now. And they're all kind of coming true.
I wanted Bobby Witt stocks. I'm not gonna lie. I heard what you had said in the preseason. I wanted just some shares of Bobby Witt because he just seemed like an exciting guy. What Corbin Carroll is today, I expected Bobby Witt to be. Equal to, right? And they were just kind of diverging big time this season. But yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I reached for Bobby Witt in two different drafts just because I wanted some Witt shares, and I am not happy considering the price I paid. I didn't pay first round for him, but definitely I can only imagine the people that I saw drafting him in, you know, top 7, top 6. I mean, he was going up high.
Oh, I mean, NFBC ADP for him was insane. And I guarantee the teams that have him are not doing very well. The teams that drafted him in the first round on the NFBC, like the right. draft champions and stuff like that, like they're not doing well.
No, because
you've got to hit with that first. You know, it's sad to say, but it's almost like taking Julio Rodriguez in the first round at this point. That was not a good pick either.
Or a Sandy Alcantara.
I don't think he was a first round pick, but he might have been. Anyway,
points in it, maybe. All right, so moving on. What's your next guy you got here?
So it's a Pablo Cy Young Lopez. What initially started as me trolling one of our league mates in one of our leagues that traded us Pablo Lopez. I definitely saw a lot of areas of improvement, right? He had a really off season, last year in Miami, where he only had everything with him is very symmetrical. You know, he had a 10 Ks per nine the year before, and then he was down to 8. But his walks were still in the exact same place. And, you know, his K rate was down as well. But again, his control was right there. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of areas, again, looking at velocity and barrels and hard hit rates and all those types of things. His hard hit rate just ballooned last year. So I really thought moving to a better ballpark
A weaker division,
right? That was going to be the other key. I saw great things happening for Pablo Lopez. And so far he's delivered. As long as you don't look at a per game basis, because per game he's a mess. If you look at his overall stats as a if you're a non Pablo owner, man, those 10.78, you know, Ks per nine, awesome. 2.45 walks is almost in line with last year. Exit velocity, you know, that people are hitting off of them, the barrel rate, all those things are great. But good God, he's a roller coaster ride.
He's had a lot of blow up games, and you're like, what the hell? But killing his ERA. He's in the 4.25 range. His expected ERA is like, I had it pulled up here. Where is it? It's his expected ERA is 3.16.
Yep.
He's pitching far better than he's just getting hit hard. When he gets hit, it's a bad game. Like, that's all there is to it.
I mean, just to give our people that aren't pulling this up right away, right? The last five starts, just giving you some earned runs, right? It's 3-1-6-4-2, right? 5. And then just 1-2, no big deal. That's 6-5 again. Yeah. And these are truncated innings pitched. So, you know, but the thing that's saving them is the strikeouts. Unlike somebody we'll be talking about here in a minute, you know, 9-6 strikeouts, 5 strikeouts, 6. Everything's kind of above board except for this 1-4 strikeout kind of anomaly there in the middle. You know, the strikeouts are definitely helping, which if you're not going to help me with the ERA, just don't blow it up too bad. Help me out my ratios. Help me out with my Ks. And Pablo Lopez is definitely doing that. He's not going to get usurped. He's not going to get sent down anytime soon. So this is the type of person we're looking for, especially in seems like you can't really just trust a pitcher. Yes, he's had those blow up games for sure, especially those the last week of May and the first week of June. But other than that, I feel like he's been pretty consistently great, and I'm kind of liking that. The one place else I just wanted to kind of touch on is I had a great tweet string that I went on where I was looking at everybody that went to Driveline, and we called out how all the Dodgers went to, like a lot of the Dodgers went to Driveline, and all the entire Twins pitching staff went to Driveline, and I think you're seeing some of the things there where they each one kind of worked on different things, pulled a new pitch or they worked on a grip or something of that nature. And those things take a little time to, you know, pull out in games and trust them in a game situation. I still think Pablo Lopez has a ways to go in being where I think he can be by the end of the year. So I'm definitely holding on to him, but I definitely think I got this right as being I don't know where his ranking is at the moment, but he is
29th pitcher. I had him ranked 51, so
there you go.
Not too far off, but you know, it's 22 total spots, which really isn't that bad. But
look, your rankings aren't that bad, but that 22, you know, position points there. I mean, that's somebody that you could then wait on, right? If you were able to get him as the 40th best pitcher off the board, you're looking at, you know, maybe 10th round, 12th round, where you are able then to fill a lot of other needs, and suddenly you got, I wouldn't say an ace, but you know, maybe a SP3. That's a pretty solid pick.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely a bargain in drafts for what he's returning. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I was in on him big time, especially the move to Minnesota. I liked that move big time. So.
Right.
All right. Who's the last hit you had?
My Dap, I had to do this. I had to do this to you.
I knew it was coming. Go ahead.
Felix Bautista. So Dap and I had a little back and forth on Bautista.
Just going to draw pictures.
I like go to my happy place. We had a little back and forth in, I forget what draft we were talking about. It doesn't matter at this point, but I was in on Bautista. I loved what we saw from him last year to end the season. Dab didn't really think it was replicable. I saw no reason why it wasn't. Like, there was nothing in the stats that was like, okay, this is like unimaginable for this to happen again. He's actually been better, which is crazy. Now, I didn't expect that. I had him ranked as the 32nd overall pitcher. He's now the 20th overall pitcher. I don't know exactly what reliever that equals out to be, but it was
a good one.
I had him a little higher up than most. I do know that for a fact. So, I mean, if you get rid of like the Striders and the Christian Javier's who shouldn't be up there, you know, I had obviously Clase, Hader, Devin Williams, Romano, Presley, and then it was Bautista. So what, that's sixth, seventh, whatever that is.
I can't count that high, but so, yeah, I believe you.
That's where I had him. He's blown me away. I mean, obviously it helps that the O's are winning way more games than I think anybody thought that they would.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I didn't think they were going to be as miserable as they were projected. But yeah, to be the second best team in all of the majors right now, that's kind of insane. But yeah, I mean, just the strikeouts, 18.5 per 9 K rate is
insane. Absolutely.
I mean, just, I love the little videos that come out where he'll strike out the entire side in like 10 pitches. It's like, damn. I mean, it's just filthy. When he's on, man, he's unhittable right now. So, you know, I'm feeling good that I took a couple of chances on him in drafts. And it's paying off very, very well.
And look, I own my mistakes because I make them quite a bit. But, you know, Bautista is definitely one of the ones that I was so sure of myself. I was like, oh, he's a roller coaster ride. You don't want to be a part of that and all that stuff. And now, of course, just to put additional salt on this wound, right? You know, Baltimore is the number one ranked bullpen in the majors right now. And it starts with Bautista, right? But if you look at just even any of the other pieces, the setup, and just work your way down.
Cano is filthy.
That was gonna be where I was going, right? If you're in a holdsless save league, if you haven't grabbed Cano, if he's somewhere even near the waiver wires, well, first off, that's a terrible league to be in. But secondly, Cano is just a monster.
Yeah.
So for them to even have that double-headed, you know, thing, it's great. But yeah, you are completely right.
The number one ranked closer right now on Fantasy Pros, by the way.
So I was just a little bit off then. Cool.
just a little. I mean, hell, I was too. I had him as the seventh, and so, you know, whatever.
But yeah, so definitely I felt like I was
a little closer to a hit than a lot of people. I feel like I can't pull up like the pre-draft rankings anymore to like see where I was in comparison to the other people on Fantasy Pros. They got rid of that. It's all in-season rankings now. But I do vaguely remember that I was a little bit higher on him than a lot of people were. So
and the thing is that the Athletic put a great article out about how the bullpen for the Orioles became bullies, and I think you just look at that mindset, and they're just going up there, and they're like, hey, we're going to just beat you down. The one thing I'm going to ask, because I was shocked by this when I knew you were going to bring this up, so I just thought I'd just ask you, how tall do you think Felix Bautista is?
I'm going to go with 5'8".
5'8"? Okay. And
can I guess?
Like 5'10".
5'10"? Can I guess? Yeah, sure. Voice in my head.
6'3".
6'8", 285.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
I was thinking you were going to say that because he's 6'8". You got 6'8"?
I'm looking at the MLB. I'm looking at MLB.com Orioles depth chart. So, look, I'm just telling you what it says here.
Seems like a feisty source.
Google does say 6'8".
MLB.com says 6'8", 285.
Malab.com.
Why is Fangraphs way off?
They know?
Well, all I could say is that regardless, 6'6 plus, which I was not expecting. Let's say 6'6 around there, right? I was not expecting that type of height. I mean, that's
I thought you were going like the opposite. That's why you were asking it. Like,
no, I would have said 5'10", 5'11". Just whatever, right? I had no concept of him being tall, and I was like 6'8". That's ridiculous.
But where does Fangraphs get 6'5" from? Did he grow since the last time? Who grows in the middle twenties?
Throwing the ball, he's just stretching his whole body out.
There you go. Yes, it's something that we're going to talk about with our, you know, the physical.
All right, let's get your last guy.
Yeah. Definitely. And I purposely did this one as well. When we were highlighting some teams.
I saw you put him down. I had to put Bautista down.
Oh, of course.
This was me getting back at you.
Well, the thing was, this was kind of a team get because we were talking about people that we were going to avoid, and you said, you know, hey, Josh Hader, I think is, you know, kind of being overly punished for last year, a lot of things going on. And then, you know, we found that snippet, you know, during the show that, you know, his wife had a very kind of touch and go pregnancy with his son that, you know, caused a lot, you know, him to leave the team and then, you know, come back. And of course, anytime you have that kind of scare, your brain is nowhere near that situation. Mm. His stats were hurting before then, but then again, it only became public, you know, about 2 months later, that once the stats started dropping down. I mean, how could anybody focus with that? So once we saw that, and once we, of course, as we're just talking about in general, people being oversold, that's where we definitely felt Josh Hader was going to be in a good place. Yeah. And then also looking kind of the defense behind him and all those other kind of metrics that he had for him. And all he's done is deliver. Are the Brewers hurting? No, they look like they're pretty they're doing pretty well as well. But Josh Hader's definitely returned in that top echelon non-Orioles closers ranking closers. You know, and again, if most drafts that I saw him in, he was going maybe top 6-7 closers, maybe a little bit later. I don't see how, if the draft happened today, he would go outside the top 3.
He was still kind of going in a lot of the drafts that I was doing. He was still going in like the top 4. I would say it was definitely like class A, but I wasn't. So like early on in the discussions, I was like, no, I don't want Hader at that price. No, right. I'm out. And then you found all that stuff and convinced me. I was like, fine. If I'm going to go in early on a closer, I guess fine. Then I'll take, cause he was the one of the elite that was dropping a little further than the rest. And so I was like, fine, I'll take my chance on him. Now I will say his walk rate's a little higher still. So there is some worry. His left on base percentage is really high. But you know, it's all better than last year. So,
100%.
We'll take that for sure. And you know, he looks like a lot more of his old self than he did at times last year, which was, there was a pretty bad stretch. Now that, you know,
I mean, last year he faced 78 batters total, right? He's already faced 103 this year. So we have enough to go on to see how we are with the two different seasons. And we're looking, that's with San Diego. That wasn't all for the whole year, right? But just with the San Diego piece, right? He had a 7.3 ERA with San Diego, and, you know, he's 1.3 right now. So he seems to have figured that out. And he already has more strikeouts than he did last year as well, 37 to 22. His ERA plus, this is stupid, 302. That's just crazy. Nuts. considering 100 is like average. Josh Hader's back, and he's 29 years old. So I still think he got a couple of years there of some haters. The one thing that he's got to be happy, though, is his agent. I mean, you were looking at an offseason where, like, maybe they could sign him for, like, a three-year $20 million deal or three-year $30 million deal. Yeah, he's not going to be anywhere near that in the offseason. So, yeah, if you're his agent, you're very happy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, since I'm not cool enough to be involved in rankings and all that fun stuff, I'll just throw a couple of quick names out here for some guys that that I liked or disliked and felt like I hit on. One was Mr. Jacob DeGrom. I think we were all in cahoots on that one, that we were passing on him this year and letting somebody else fall on that grenade.
Yep.
And as we've seen right now and talked about recently, he is yet again injured. And is now dealing with Tommy John again. So this is looking like maybe 25 for his return if he comes back.
It's gonna be a rough return for him at the age that he's at now. Yeah, we talked about
it's
that
a shame. Weeks ago, so. I mean, definitely a talented pitcher, and I did enjoy watching him pitch, even though he was a stupid mutt for most of his career. He was electric when he was on and when he was healthy. So
good.
It's a shame, but I feel like that was an easy one. A little curveball there. And one of the other guys that I really liked was Randy Arozarena. He was kind of crawling up in ADP towards the drafts and whatnot, but I was able to get him at a discount in a couple of leagues, so I was pretty stoked about that. And I mean, he's paid off so far, so can't really complain too much about what he's put up. A 286 average, 408 OBP, 44 ribbies, 12 homers, 9 steals, and 42 runs far on the season.
Do you want to take a guess at what Fantasy Pros has him ranked at right now?
What anybody? They have him ranked at?
Yeah, their VBR ranking of him.
I don't know, 5.
That.
I'm gonna go 2.
AJ, spot on. 5.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. Yeah, I had him ranked 28th. So, I liked him, but I don't think I liked him any more, than anybody else. It felt like I kind of had him right where I think he was going in most drafts, and so it was right there.
Yeah. Like I said,
his teammate Franco is 7.
Yeah.
could probably just filter by Tampa to see like all of the top 10 here. I'm just kind of curious now that I'm thinking about this. So this is 20. I guess this is just qualified guys. I don't know. Because they mix and match a bunch of players, so there's not enough qualified guys, apparently. But,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's three dudes at the top 20. That's crazy.
Yeah, this is the Franco breakout year. I mean, without a doubt, this is him healthy.
Absolutely.
And then I will say the last guy I have here is where was it? Oh, Hunter Green was a guy that I definitely liked coming in. I feel like it's kind of a hit and a miss because he hasn't been great, but he's really turned it on as of late. So I'm glad I kind of rode the storm out with him. The problem with him is that he plays for Cincinnati, who is a terrible baseball team.
What?
And a terrible ballpark.
Yes. But
sir, do you mean terrible ballpark like visually or hitting
for pitchers? It's
for pitchers. Oh, okay.
For pitchers, it is a terrible ballpark. Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe we pulled that up in one of our shows that it's actually ranked
worse than Colorado right now.
That's just nuts because of the humidor. Sorry, AJ, didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, buddy.
No, you're fine. But yeah, so his his starts early in the season were again not very helpful to my teams, but in my points league he does only have one negative output on the season, and surprisingly that was at Colorado where he put up a negative two. But other than that, he's had positive points, so I guess I'll take that.
Take it, run with it, build a bank. Exactly.
So all right, well, let's jump into some misses here, some strikes, some swings and misses. Mrs. Robinson, I don't know. All right, Joe, who's your first?
I'm player gonna start off players? With, and I'm sorry to do it to you, AJ.
You fucking spelled the team name. God damn it, dude.
If it makes you feel any better, I didn't include the team in the banner.
The L.
Well, guess what? When they win more, they get the other L.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Right. Actually, doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so it is Trey Turner leading the way for a lot of the Phillies, unfortunately. It's just been not a great season for them overall. Trey Turner obviously leads the way here. I had him ranked as the second highest hitter on the board. I think it went Judge and him in my rankings. And Trey Turner had as many home runs through the first 2 months of the season as he did in the entire 11-game World Baseball Classic. That's crazy. Five. Now he has tacked on two more in June. So, and he's playing a lot better right now in June. So maybe he's breaking out of it. Way too talented of a player for me to think that he's going to play this bad all season.
In June, we're on the same day against Detroit.
What?
Hashtag suck at Dave Eddie.
But I mean, now he's got his batting average in June, 308. He's at two bombs. He's got 13 runs. He's playing a whole lot better than he did, in the first 2 months. And so, look, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a complete miss on the entire season, but so far it has not returned the price you have paid, and you're probably paying for it, you know, in your leagues if you drafted Trey Turner so far, where he was going in drafts, which was sometimes one overall.
Yes. Yeah, this is one that I can commiserate with as a Phillies fan, and as an excited, you know, fan to see Trey Turner coming to Philly. I definitely expected a lot more out of him. I was all in on him and have him in most of my leagues, almost all of them, actually. I think there's only one that I do not. And I took him in the first round. I mean, that's where he was going. It's what you would expect. But I took him like earlier first round, bypassing some of the stud outfielders. So,
I'm sort of mad at myself for it too, because I initially, when I first did my rankings, I had him like, it still would have been a complete miss, like compared to what he has done on the year.
Sure.
But I had him like middle first round, just because for some reason, Trey Turner has, I feel like he's had great seasons, but like you've never had that like, oh my God, season from him, right? It's never been like, he's like the best player in baseball by a mile. Like 2021 was easily his best season. But then there's last year, like it went down a little bit. And then this year is even worse. And so like, you know, I felt like Acuna could easily outperform him, but I didn't rank him above you know, didn't have, I flipped it. Once he had that World Baseball Classic, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Right. Turner's turned it on.
Yeah.
Nah, it didn't carry over. And so kicking myself for kind of buying into that hype at the very last second and moving him up to number two. Again, it still would have been a massive miss. Like, he is not performing in first round value right now, not even close.
Yeah. No.
So it is what it is. I mean, it's a long season. Still, what, 3.5 months to go? I mean, a lot can happen, but he needs to do a whole lot more quick to get anywhere close to a first round value.
Well, that whole team does. Yes. The only thing saving
Schwarber is home runs.
Well, that's who I was just going to mention, because he's still only hitting 174 on the season with a 323 OBP.
Which is exactly what he had last year, 323 OBP, which is crazy. Okay.
But his slugging is now up to 432. He's 18 homers, but only twice that in RBIs. And he hasn't been hitting leadoff for much of the year. He still has 40 runs. So he's
getting down to third, even fifth.
Yeah.
He's actually hit more of his home runs batting fifth than he has any other spot in the lineup.
And he's got 5 already in June, which is when he kind of woke up last year and really started, taking off. I mean, the fact that he's already got 18 homers is pretty solid, but that's all he's doing for you. I mean, he's getting some ribbies and some runs. But now that he's potentially going to be more of a leadoff hitter again, I think the runs are going to, drop off. I think the RBIs are going to drop off unless they randomly.
Well, the run should go up if he's a leadoff hitter, with Bryce Harper and stuff. But
the RBIs, but the home runs are going to be more solo shots.
Yeah. So tell me something here, AJ, because I just need to understand this. People joke about, can anybody tell me where Schwarber was being drafted this year? What round? Because I can, of course, tell you where he's being drafted in our drafts. But
he was,
I want to say third round,
or fourth. I was going to say third or fourth.
He was average like 43.
I had him as the 29th ranked hitter. He is now the 45th ranked hitter according to the VBR and Fantasy Pros, which actually shocked me. I was way closer, and when I was thinking of players, my head went to Schwarber, and then I looked at it and I was like, I'm only 16 spots off. How in the hell? And then I looked at him like, how does he have 18 home runs? This kid can't hit the ball right now. Like, what the hell?
When he does, that's what he does.
I pretty much, that's all he can do is hit home runs. So whatever.
Let me ask you if you guys can name the obvious mystery hitter I'm about to name, okay? In 100 less at-bats, this mystery hitter has the same number of doubles, 7 less home runs, 10 less RBIs, and 10 points more batting average, and almost the exact same except for 1 point on base percentage. Who's the mystery hitter? Great question. Joey Gallo. So I'm just
who you could have gotten for free.
Exactly. I mean, 100 at-bats less. Yeah, he's a part-time player right now. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, you're almost talking about the exact same stats except for the 7 home runs. Yes, he's not going to produce as many runs because the Twins aren't playing him as much because he has 100 less. So, but he only has 19 less runs. I mean, literally almost all these stats. Yeah. So you could have got, you overpaid for Gallo in a different hat. I was never touching Schwarber. So this is somebody that I tried to give away all off season. In multiple dynasty leagues, because I thought he was just some light hitting guy that's going to never see the field, or if he was, it's going to be a raised situation. Taylor Walls just came out, hot's not even a word. What he was doing to start off the season, it was just nuts. I don't understand how he wasn't not just drug tested, but they should have checked his bat and like x-rayed it, gave it to NASA, double checked everything. There was something that happened at the beginning of the season that was just crazy to me. And then I'm like, man, I really missed with, you know, Taylor Walls. I was like, you know, if he get him for free or don't draft him, just pick him up because, you know, he's great that he has like four position eligibility. You look at his StatCast page and it's almost all blue. It's Smurf, right? Like average exit velocity is like 24th percentile, max exit velocity, 16th percentile, expected batting average, two percentile. Expected slugging, 5. Just so you know, the higher the number, the better, right? I mean, chase rate, he doesn't chase great. Sprint speed, okay, 77, great. And he takes a walk, typical Rays. But everything is blue here, yet somehow he was just the start this season. I mean, I picked him up in almost all my leagues when he was on the waiver wire. I was so off. I don't know if he's going to be anything like this in the next couple months, but to start the season, I would say easily he was a top 50 player, which I wouldn't have expected him to be in the top 200. Yeah. What's his ranking?
62.
Wow, it's close.
Oh, so still close. 62nd, even though, and you're talking, he had a hot start.
Yeah.
May was not kind to him.
Yeah.
June has been even worse. May, he had a 191 batting average. He did still hit 3 bombs. He did start stealing a lot more bases in May, which helped. He stole 10 bases, but now he's a .098 batting average in June. No home runs, only one steal. He's turning back into a pumpkin, man.
I think
the shine has worn off, unfortunately.
Okay, here's the thing. Even if you take that productive month that he had in, you know, end of March, April, that entire April, I wouldn't have expected any of his stats to even equal any of that stuff.
No, like, no projections. I didn't even rank him. He was not even ranked. Not even close. It just was like
should he have been? I mean, it's like, so just so we understand how crazy it was, April, right? Just his April, he was a 306, 403 OBP, here it comes, 581 slugging.
Yeah.
The one of the lightest hitters just ever. And he had 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, 9 walks. He was an all-star.
Slugging in his previous two seasons was 304 and 285 and 296.
Right. Yeah.
That was his X slugging. I was trying to give him a little too much credit there. His slugging is still at 395, which is still 100 points higher than his career.
Right.
So total crazy miss on everybody's part, really. I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you a single person that had him ranked.
I just wanted to highlight it because I was giving him away. Anybody that wanted him, like, you know, just send me a warm body back, and nobody wanted him. And here's this guy just getting, I think we highlighted him twice on our free agent show just because, hey, he has three position eligibility. Now, not now, but then we definitely were like, hey, ride the hot streak. And I didn't think there was ever going to be a hot streak with Walls.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
I'm going back over to Cincinnati. I know we talked about them just a second ago, but I'm going to go with a guy who I kind of highlighted as somebody who I liked as a kind of post-hype sleeper for second base, and that's Jonathan India. I didn't give him enough credit, though. I liked him, and I actually got him in a couple different leagues, but it was dirt cheap. I mean, right. He was going way late. I had him ranked as 104th hitter. He's the 14th best hitter according to Fantasy Pros right now. He's turning into what everybody thought he could be a couple of years ago. He just battled injuries. He's hitting for a good average. Home runs are, you know, he's not going to be a 40 home run hitter. He may never even be a 30 home run hitter. You know, you're looking for 20 to 25 max, I think, for him. But you're looking for that, like, 20 steal potential, and he's right there on pace for that, if not above it. He's just a good, productive hitter, and the Reds lineup is starting to cook, man. You know, they're bringing up some guys. That ballpark is friendly for them. So
wait, did you see bringing up some guys, or was it one? Yes, there's another
guy. One in particular, but they're bringing up some dudes. Man.
All of them have been hitting. It's just how crazy it is. But go ahead, I apologize.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't give him enough credit, so I'm calling this one a miss for me. Even though I think I liked him more than a lot of people did, I didn't give him enough credit. I wish I had trusted my own gut even more and put him higher, and I didn't do it. I let the projections kind of steer me in the direction of not ranking him higher.
You know, among qualified hitters, 9 have increased their hard hit percentage. This is from, of course, our buddy Mike Kurland, have increased their hard hit percentage at least 10% from last year to this year. Number one, JD Martinez, 12.5% increase. And then number two, Jonathan India, 11.8%. I mean, the names on there right behind him, Brian Reynolds, Brandon Marsh, MG Melendez, Juan Soto. I mean, these are all mashers, and I didn't put Jonathan India in that in that category. And man, I should have. I should have saw with the hair. It's the hair. Don't ever cut it, Jonathan. Don't ever cut it.
It's not turning into like massive power numbers for him.
Sure.
That's not going to be who he is. He's hitting the ball well, and you know, he's doing what works for him, and it's going to lead, you know, to me, it's going to be an easy 2020 season for him at this point, with a pretty solid batting average. And he's well on pace for 100 runs if the team keeps up hitting the ball like they are. So,
I mean, I think the biggest thing we should take away from Mr. India is that his name is Jonathan India. And if there's nothing of that name that screams greatness compared to the likes of Robert California and or Tony Montana, that's, you know, it's just people you don't want to mess with. Okay. You want them on your side. You want them in your corner. All right. You run with it. You go with it.
You know, and Matt McClain, like you're talking about the call-ups, I don't want to sell him short as well, but you know, having him hit with India going back-to-back, I was just trying to – McClain is also, if you ever watch Die Hard, is also a great name as McClain. Well. Yeah. Yes, as everybody knows, he saved Christmas. So
he's a big fan of
– Nakatomi Plaza.
Not where I was going with it, but yes.
I know, but I was
going to go with Annie Lennox, Walking on Broken Glass, but yeah. Good pull. Good pull with the one that everybody knows, the tower.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm sorry. Did you want to pull any other 80s references of singers that nobody's listening to?
No.
Okay.
Not right now. I will later in the show, though.
Okay, from one
to it.
from one team that wears red to another team that wears red. My other big miss here was the Cardinals team in general. I mean, from the team preview to constantly hyping up, hey, trust the Cardinals, you know, system, and you know, if it's a pitcher, I want it to have a Cardinals pitcher. They've been atrocious, and the thing is, it's starts with the thing that I thought they're going to have. It's the Cardinals, right? It has to be the pitching. They've been terrible. Mm-hmm. It's not even like, let's talk about different things. You know, Miles Mikolas, who signed a 2-year, $40 million extension. I think his ERA is somewhere in like 3,500. Steven Matz, like another person, you know, these are not players that you are drafting as your SP1 or your SP2, but you're drafting for a solid SP.
Drafting Steven Matz as your SP1. You might as well be back in the 80s. I think that's when he was first coming up and was hyped.
Yes, him and Huey Lewis in the news. Yeah. But, you're definitely...
Yeah, whatever happened to the news? I mean...
Well, if you ever watched American Psycho, you would know. I mean, then there you go. Then you know that there's a great scene where he talks about how they broke up. Steven...
Can we reference things from this century?
Sorry, the millennials talking.
I know what you're talking about, but God, there are younger people than me that probably watch us.
But, you know, the thing is that, again, these are people that I was drafting as my, maybe my SP4, SP5.
Jordan Montgomery is perfect, another great example. Right. And he's been, like, up here, down here, up here, right. like, all over the place, you know. It's just.
And you're thinking, even when they had blowups, it didn't matter because the offense was going to pick them up, right? They're going to win enough games that it was going to offset any ERA challenges that they had. And their, you know, ERAs over 4.5 is not going to get it done. The ERAs over 5 is definitely not going to get done. And then on top of that, not winning anything, it's just, they should almost all be on your waiver wires. It's just awful. Yeah. So the whole team almost just, I don't know. There's going to be some trades or something's going to happen here.
I mean,
Jordan Walker up and down, you know, doesn't get us excited either. I don't know. The whole team's a mess.
Tyler O'Neill's been a train wreck.
Yep.
Tommy Edman not living up. The Contreras deal, not good. I mean, they can't even play him at catcher half the time because he's just been bad back there. I mean, Goldschmidt and Arenado are basically returning value. But it's not what you expect from them still. Like, it doesn't feel like it. I mean, Gorman's obviously returned immense value. Like, we right. already brought him up. But, like,
right.
that's one guy right. who's actually outperforming what he was being drafted. Everybody else is worse.
Does he pitch, though? Maybe Nolan Gorman pitches.
I would have to disagree with you on the Goldschmidt thing. Hitting .288, he's got 11 homers, 31 ribbies, 7 steals, and 44 runs. He's still playing pretty damn well. I mean, he's kind of the bright spot there. And Arenado, decent. I feel like first base may have been the weaker position, so maybe more people were reaching on Goldie. But depending on your league setup, I still feel like he was like a second, third round, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, you're looking back at Goldschmidt for the last couple of years, man. Your 30 home run, he's not on pace for that even right now.
Draft ADP was 21, so
yeah. So at 21, you're expecting a 40 home run hitter.
When you draft a first baseman that high, you're expecting the massive power numbers from him, and he's on pace for maybe 25, 27 right now. He's not returning the value that you were hoping, you know, especially with the lower batting average down at 288. The RBI numbers are drastically low.
I mean, you're
a 5-year season, so
but, I mean, if you're, your point's well taken, though. I mean, he's having a good season. It's just not. I think both of you guys are valid here, right? He's having a good season, but he's not having the season that we're expecting, right? Like, yes, if that's
my point was.
Right.
Like, I'm not looking to drop the guy. Yeah. I've got him in two leagues.
Right, right.
He's fine.
I still think he's on par with the home run numbers. The RBI numbers is what's hurt.
That's because the team can't get on base either.
Exactly.
I mean, the seven steals are really nice because that was what he got all of last year. So that's helping keep his value up. But the rest of it is not what you were drafting
either
him
way,
for.
I will just not take this blasphemy of speech against Paul Goldschmidt. That's all I'm trying to say.
So just some rankings real quick, just some highlight just how bad this pitching situation is, right? So just the ones where they're ranked 20th or lower in the league. St. Louis is ranked the 21st worst in ERA pitching, 23rd in runs allowed, 22nd in walks allowed, which is nuts to me because, you know, again, you don't see that. And I do want to flash back to one thing. They lost an all-star catcher, and I'm just wondering if that has anything at play here. Just something to think about. I mean, yes, the pitch clock, and yeah, a bunch of old guys as well, but just something to think about. And the last thing, again, that I just couldn't believe, 27th worst in WHIP. So, yeah, there's a lot not to like with the St. Louis team. It's the cool WHIP.
So I'm going to stay on the pitching train here, and we're just going to say all the pitchers? No.
I mean, ever?
Kind of feel like we could.
Everyone.
This year. But the two I really want to call out are the two, like, older studs, Hall of Famers, Verlander and Mad Max. I mean, talk about complete 180s for this season. I mean, they were still getting drafted very, very high. I had a lot more hope in Max Scherzer than I did Verlander. I mean, I still, well, actually, I guess I had, actually had a lot of hope for both. I had 6 and 8 overall for them. And Scherzer's at 160. Verlander's at 229.
So close.
Yeah, not good.
If you divide by 100, you're right there.
not good. So, I mean, look, could it be the pitch clock? These guys are older. They've always been used to being able to play the game at their own pace and do what they, like to do. Could it just be age finally caught up to them? I don't know. It could just be the Mets curse with pitchers, it feels like, at times. I don't know.
What is worse, to be Dodgered or to be Mets'd?
Mets, because Mets usually means you got hurt. Dodger just means you got fake hurt and put on the IL because they want to save innings.
But in Bobby Bonilla's case, getting Mets'd is getting paid.
I mean, the thing with me, right? Like, so the calendar, we went to June and you have two decent games with one game that's what's become typical, I guess, this year for Verlander, right? He had an 8 strikeout game, a 6 strikeout game, and then, we gave up one earned run each time. But then he had a 4 earned run game with only 3 strikeouts. And the thing is he's had 3 games now with 3 or less strikeouts. He had one on the 16th where he got killed and 6 earned runs. And then again, 6 earned runs at Colorado. I mean, that Colorado, I get it, but only 2 strikeouts. So if you're going to have a low strikeout Verlander who also is getting lit up, I don't know where your value is coming from there either. So I'm really hoping to see hopefully something change here in June while it's warming up and maybe those old bones, and having a swimsuit issue all done. I don't know, but a lot doesn't look right there.
I mean, I thought we had turned the corner with Scherzer even. Like, he went on that stretch. 1 run, 0, 1, 2, and then 2 in a row here. 5 and 6? Yeah, great. The 5, he got you the 10 strikeouts. That was against Atlanta. So you're like, all right, fine, Atlanta. Then he faced the Yankees, and the Yankees are not the Yankees right now, right? They don't have Judge, right? It's not the team you're expecting to face. He got obliterated, and then only 2 strikeouts. Like, the hell, man?
Okay, but who would you rather have right now, Scherzer or Verlander, for the rest of the season?
Probably still Scherzer.
Yeah. Yeah, Verlander.
Not feeling great, but Verlander feels like he's... trade.
Verlander just...
Verlander's got a couple years on him, too, so you're a couple years the wrong way. So
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Verlander's getting a lot more love for that name recognition than, than Scherzer is.
I will say I don't have any Verlander, but I do have at least one share of Max, and I don't remember which teams at this point. But
yeah, I don't have either. I don't draft pitchers over the age of 106, so I keep them under 102.
I mean, I have avoided both of them for the last 4 years, and it's bit me in the ass. Like... So I finally was like, all right, they're just gonna
So you're
finally,
like,
I'm just gonna.
You're like, I haven't opened up this wine. And you know what? It's only going to get better. So I'm now going to open it up. Got it. I just want to understand how you draft pitchers. Fantastic. I'm so glad I co-own a team with you.
I mean, they kept proving me wrong. So I figured, all right, fine.
It's enough. Enough about the Mets.
All right.
Speaking of pitching, though.
Yes.
Who you got here, Dad?
The last one.
Sandy Alcantara. Look, I have had a Verlander Scherzer issue with Sandy Alcantara. I always kind of missed him, and he's always been this great little workhorse. 228 innings pitched last year, 205 the year before. And when he's healthy, he's doing some pretty good things. And I thought, hey, this guy can do some great things on my team. And gosh, yuck. I don't even know where to begin with this. This is just... I mean, his overall numbers, right? He's almost at 3 walks per 9. His K per nine is under eight. He's never been a huge walk, I mean, huge strikeout pitcher, but I thought he was, you know, 26 season. I thought, you know, we saw some things. I just saw SP2 value here. I saw SP3, SP2 value late that you could pick up, you know, they wouldn't have to spend too much draft capital. And he's just been, but you're not starting him. I don't know how you could start him unless you just absolutely need just strikeouts and nothing else. He's been awful, and I was way off on him completely.
So I wasn't the lowest on him, but I know I was lower on him than the consensus. So the consensus had him at SP6, or actually pitcher 6.
Okay.
I had him at pitcher 11, so that means I wasn't getting him anywhere, and I didn't. And the reason why I didn't is because it wasn't because I didn't think he was like a solid pitcher, you know, ratios were good and stuff like that. But like, if I'm paying top dollar for a pitcher, I want a guy who doesn't need 200 plus innings to get me hopefully 200 strikeouts. You know, like, I mean, right. He needed what, 220 innings last year to get you 207 strikeouts.
Right.
I want a guy like, I was willing to go snatch Strider later than Alcantara was going. I think Strider finally jumped him. Like, Strider finally got a little bit like momentum near the very end of the draft season, it felt like.
Yep.
But like, it didn't start that way. Alcantara was always like top four, top five. And then things started shifting really late. But yeah, I was all over like Spencer Strider instead of Alcantara. Like, I wanted that because I wanted that like massive strikeout potential, and it's paying off very well for me. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I liked Alcantara. Just, you know, it's tough to rely on 200 plus, you know, innings back to back years. And I mean, when was the last time we saw that? I mean,
in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing too. Like, I also expected it to be the forefront of this Miami team that was just going to kind of, you know, take the next step here. And it's just not doing that at all. I missed. There's nothing else to say here. I don't think he's going to be this bad the rest of the season. I haven't seen any. I can't be like, hey, look at this improvement here. He's been bad against even the Oakland A's or the Vegas A's now as of today. But
nothing is showing me that he's going to get better, though. That's the problem.
I know. He's five earned runs with seven strikeouts. And then when he did win against the White Sox, who have been just awful, right? He gave a one earned run, but then he had four strikeouts. So it's like, make up your mind.
I mean, his expected ERA is 4.11. Not like it's looking better. You know, FIP is 3.78. Like, still not great numbers. You got him because his ratios were elite, and they are not giving you elite ratios, and you know the strikeouts aren't going to be there. So good luck. All right. I have a little bonus one here. This was sort of like a hit, or I don't know. It was like a hit early because I avoided him in drafts. But now it's a miss because he's like, and we'll get to this in the very next question here. But Gunnar Henderson has been like one of the best hitters in baseball in all of June so far. But like, you know, what did we talk about in that third base preview, AJ? It was, I'm not drafting Gunnar Henderson where he's going because it, like, the tier drop off just, it felt like a reach, right? People just wanted, like, oh, the upside is there, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there was this huge drop-off. It was, like, the first six going in the top 50 overall. Then you were going to reach for Henderson in, like, the next round or round and a half. And then you could wait 2 to 3 rounds later and go get Max Muncy. And I was like, give me Max Muncy. And that looked like a huge win early.
Right.
And Henderson was horrible the first 2 months of the season. There's no doubt about it. And now
it was, of course, was he Volpe-esque?
He might have stopped because he wasn't giving you the steals.
Yeah, exactly.
But like,
but he was in the conversation of being like, oh, you know, I saw a lot of those conversations of like Henderson and Volpe both, you know, show you why you don't draft rookies. And, you know, they're being sandwiched together constantly. Now, you know, Gunner's on a completely different level.
424 average in June, five home runs. He's doubled his home run total. he just hit the longest home run in Camden Yards to hit Utah Street. Like, absolutely insane. Dude's just mashing right now. Apparently, somebody told me today he had hit for the cycle of home runs in June. So a solo, a two-run home run, a three-run home run, and a grand slam. I was like, I didn't know that was a thing, but sure, that sounds cool. I'm going to use it tonight. And I did. So kudos to that guy who told me that.
Give credit where credit's due.
It was a hit early on as far as like I was avoiding him. What's funny though is I still, you know, because the potential was there, I still had him ranked fairly high. But now that he's caught fire, I'm actually only off. So I had him ranked as the 67th ranked hitter. He's now the 85th ranked hitter. So he still hasn't even caught up. So it's still a miss. it's so bizarre. I just had to bring him up because it's just been like a tale of two like seasons for him.
Yeah, so absolutely. Look, I need to bring up somebody. I know this is not in our sheet, but I need to bring up somebody because I was so sure of myself. And he's on another level. He's video game numbers. Ohtani just hit another home run. So we're taping this June 15th. So just to give you, since June 6th, so the last 9-10 days, right? He's had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven home runs in one game where he had two home runs. He doesn't have even a level. He's not even on another level. He's just on Ohtani level. Because I was making fun of people that were like, I was like, there's no way you can draft Ohtani as just a hitter. You need to be in a daily league only where that's where you get his value. He's so damn good on either side of the ball. It really just doesn't matter. Yes, I saw the World Baseball Classic and I wanted Ohtani and I did draft him in a lot of daily leagues. But he's just so good. He's worth it in weekly leagues. He's worth it as hitter only. I mean,
when did he start going on his binge here?
Well, I'm looking at it since June 6th. So this is just last 9 days. And that's he's only, let me put it this way. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4 games without a home run out of the last 10 games. It's easier to count the games he doesn't have a home run in than the games that he does. So
his WRC plus since June 6th is 326. Shockingly, Corbin Carroll is 329.
Well, Corbin Carroll is another one.
Also playing phenomenal. Ohtani, that leads right into our who's hotter debate, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Ohtani went 6 innings, gave up 6 hits, only 2 earned, and only had 3 Ks though today. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know if he's hotter.
Taking the pitching out of it, I just pulled up, and this was before today's games.
Okay.
I pulled up, like we've done in the last, the last couple of shows here, I pulled up the top 5 hitters over the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Ohtani has a WRC plus of 298 with 8 home runs, 15 runs, 18 ribbies, and a 4... got to put this on the bigger screen here because I have the sheet shrunk here. So with a 436 batting average, Corbin Carroll is right behind him the last couple weeks. 5 home runs, 17 runs, 15 ribbies, and a 408 batting average, both with 3 steals. Tatis is heating up. Corey Seager's in there. Corey Seager's really cooking now. And then, of course, Gunnar Henderson, who we just talked about, and also just cruising right now. I posed the question as who's hotter, Ohtani or the field, but like it's tough. Even if you say the field, like I don't know, like Ohtani is just on another planet right now.
Well, and that's the thing. I
contemplated wanting to bring it up to you. Should we just do like Shohei Ohtani versus the whole MLB at this point? I mean, cause like Deb said, he's on another fucking world right now. He's putting
stupid
up beyond video game slugging numbers. Like, I can't even put up these type of numbers in a video game.
in June 6th, his slugging was 552. If you would have told me he would have raised his slugging percentage by 70 points in 9 days, 10 days, I would have called you a liar.
Insane, insane.
Yeah. I mean, at 552, like, you're just like, okay, well, you know, he has, maybe he goes up to 570, whatever. 620, that's stupid. Like, that's just, yeah. You don't, like, when does he become just an automatic walk? Because at this point, okay, you have Trout, you have Ohtani.
Who else is beating you on that Angels team, right?
Right.
I get you. Yeah.
Like, why pitch to him? And
give him the Barry Bonds treatment almost. Yo, we're shallow. Well,
And I look, I want to see him hit.
Don't Ward. Just,
Mickey Moniak.
Right.
I mean, like, going down that road, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Moniak did have a good game today.
Oh, God. What's, has Joe Adele done anything? I haven't even looked.
has he actually been called up?
Oh, yeah, he was.
From the minor leagues.
Yeah, and the whole thing was, remember, everything was like, yeah. You know, Kalenic, you know, finally picked it up, did Adele. He's had three at-bats, and he had one hit.
He's been up for one game.
Three at-bats? He went
3-for-4 and a home run. A home run. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah, great. That's great.
Why not?
But I mean, look, I think Ohtani is must see. So from a field perspective, right? I think you have to look at it from a couple different levels. I would absolutely want to get interrupted, whatever I'm watching, to, you know, watch either Ohtani pitch or hit. I think he's must watch. He's the most entertaining player right there. And I'm not even an Angels fan, right? Like, at all. You know that. In fact, it hurts me to say this because I'm a Las Vegas A's fan. But yeah, I mean, let me ask you a different question then, Joe, just to take this a little bit further. If you were starting a team right now and you had the first pick of a real MLB team, not fantasy, real MLB team, who are you picking? It's got to be Ohtani, right?
Yeah. Obviously Ohtani, because, you know, he hits and pitches.
Right.
If Ohtani couldn't pitch,
okay,
I'd probably still go Acuna.
You'd go, oh, okay. Yeah, I see that. Yep. Okay. All right, AJ, I'm scared to ask, but who would you pick? Hitter only.
And Acuna is younger.
That's a good point.
Plays a big part in it.
Sorry, I was so blown away, but
I'm talking hitter only. Like that plays it.
But the fact that you even have to think about it from a guy that's playing both sides of the ball, I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, I would.
I'm kind of curious. Like, what is his combined WAR going to be for the end of the year for the pitching?
46.
Some stupid, insane historical number.
That's about right.
The thing is that it gets to the point with Ohtani that you almost can't let him have his own awards anymore, right? Because, like, how do you do the MVP debate, right? Because to me, it's stupid to give it to anybody else than Ohtani, because if he, you know, wins 10 or more games and he's, you know, batting like he's batting, how's anybody else more valuable?
So. And it's weird. Mike, you bring up a good point. Like, and I'm looking at the WAR right now on Fangraphs, and so it must only be including, like, you know, they do offense and defensive WAR. That must be his, like, fielding WAR.
Yeah.
Because it's negative. I'm not seeing where on Fangraphs his pitching WAR is. That doesn't make any sense.
Is it an average between the pitching and the hitting WAR? Or is it, you know, and, like, play the field, two together?
Right?
No, that's the thing.
You're going to need to create a new WAR category.
Last year, Ohtani had a combined offensive and pitching WAR of 9.6. This year, so far, this is back in April, 16.2.
So that makes sense. It's 23.7 and -7. So the defense must be his pitching WAR.
That can't be
who's
it.
Who's the best pitcher in baseball right now? Strider, right?
Strider. Yeah.
What's his WAR? They don't even really. So his WAR is 1.7. So WAR for pitchers doesn't really seem like it's much of a thing.
Marcus Stroman got a 3.4.
That's got to be a show right there. If WAR is that off on pitchers,
wins above replacement, yeah, it's 1.7. That doesn't make any sense. Like Strider's been nasty.
And if Stroman's in the threes, then I want to recalculate everything.
Yeah, I want to recount.
This is also why we just don't talk about WAR for pitchers. Yeah, apparently. No. So I've never really looked at it. So
I just clicked Aaron Nola just for giggles, right? I just picking a random name. His WAR is 1.5. So if you're going to tell me that his wins above replacement is anywhere near Strider, I mean, that's a stupid to me. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make it.
Worthless.
While we're on the topic, I had promoted that there would be another song from the 80s that I'd have to bring up, but I'm going to go back a little deeper, and this one's released in 1970, and it is WAR by Edwin Starr. So there you go.
Thank you.
WAR. To our
85 viewers that are watching right now, nothing. I apologize.
If you're still watching, you're welcome.
Thanks, Mom. Right.
So quickly finish off here. Just get a couple news items. Vinny Pasquantino out for the year. Torn, was it a torn labrum?
Blah, 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 blah.
Is that what it was?
That's not the news here. The news
is a shoulder. I mean, you know, that's
the reverse bumblefuckage that your Oakland Athletics had put on to reverse boycott. That's what I think they were calling it. Reverse boycott. We hate you, owner. Sell the damn team. You know what we're going to do to show how much we hate you? We're going to gather all of our freaking friends that are also fans, and we're going to give you all of our money and fill this fucking stadium. Well played, Oakland. You have done absolutely nothing in this. And,
they're still leaving.
They're still out.
You know what? I have to be honest. I have to be honest with you, though, right? I mean, as an Oakland A's fan, I'm kind of glad they did that, though. They basically said, "Hey, we could have come out at any time if you would have given us
invested in
just showing even a little bit of modicum of love for this team." Yeah. And I like that. I mean, look, they had no control over it. They were never gonna. And what are they gonna do? So instead of the 2,000 fans to show up, zero fans. Okay, great. But I think if anything, it just shows that look, we were here the entire time. If you weren't, if you would have just done something. And
I was listening to Jeff
to a city where apparently there's a bunch of gambling, naked women, and a Stanley Cup champion after being in the league for what, 6 or 7 years, I think.
Seven years.
That's pretty awesome. WNBA champion.
Because the owner of the Knights said they were going to win a cup in 6, and they won it in 5, I believe it was, or it was the 6th year.
Interesting, but they made it in their first year or something.
Yeah, they did. They made it. That was when they lost to the Caps.
Okay, but no, I mean, Golden Knights were founded in March 1st, 2017.
So 6th year then. 6th year, got it in 6.
So I said 7. I just want to let you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's 2024 is right.
Well, yeah, but the years with the hockey, they're weird.
Oh my god!
But hey, I have come to your defense, Dap.
One of those.
I was listening to Jeff Passan about the
all of our games are in a single calendar year sports.
You know what? I want to start doing around the horn esque where the host can just hit the mute button on various people and just go ahead there, Mike, the voice in my head. Go ahead.
We can do that.
So, Mike, what are you saying? You're listening to Jeff Passan, my boy.
Yeah, Jeff Passan. Big baseball enthusiast. He's well known. He basically stated, with the Athletics, this was saying that, hey, the fans were not the problem here. It was the owner.
Right.
Just like what Dap was saying. If they invested in the team, we would have came out. We would have sold, given you 27,000 people in the stands. but you did nothing for the team. And as soon as the owner, you know, went out and broke the news about the move, you know, even getting the approval to look to move, right, he went on a fire sale and just sold all the talent. So, I mean, they put out just bad product and expected the fans to pay for it. So I understand the reverse boycott, just basically stating, like you said, hey, Oakland is not the problem here. It's right, the owners.
Yeah. And look, Fisher, you know, has been terrible since he got the team, and he got his wish, and Major League Baseball, you know, helped push him along as well as they can. It just shows you that if the league is behind you on whatever your decision is, they'll figure out a way to get it done quick. And, you know, the league wanted the move to happen.
This
is
a money draw.
Hey, like from a business perspective, I totally get it, right? Yeah. But in that stadium, God, the Oakland Coliseum is not the best. No. But I will not forget being there in person when Oakland won their 20th game in a row. I mean, that stadium was rocking. And they posted some video clips as well, you know, just before the whole boycott in that they did.
Were you really there for that?
Yeah, the 20th game? Yep, I was there.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I bought the tickets 2 months in advance because I just happened to be in a business trip. And it just so happened to coincide that that was the 20th game in a row. And it was nuts because when I got in the seat, it was, you know, still top of the first. And if you haven't watched Moneyball or whatever, they were getting killed.
Smashed.
Right. And so everybody was like, oh, well, there it goes. Oh, well. And the magic that happened out of that whole thing, the stadium was just on, you know, just on edge. It was amazing. It was just such a fun place to be in an atmosphere.
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool story, man.
Yeah, I will definitely always, you know, miss kind
I'm
of
sure you've watching got that this. Ticket frame somewhere.
I do. And I saw Barry Bonds also tie, you know, hit number 714, was it, in Oakland Coliseum?
So
another random bought the ticket advance and saw that as well. So super lucky.
Wow.
So saw both of those. And look, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, you've now ripped out a lot of pro teams from a fan base, right? You ripped out the Golden State Warriors. You've taken away the Raiders. You've taken away the A's. And what are you expecting, right? I'm not even from Oakland area, but I feel bad for him. I feel bad like I would for Seattle when they lost the Sonics. I feel bad like when Montreal lost the Expos. I feel bad for the franchise.
When they lost the Rams.
Oh, yeah, that too. I mean, there's...
Well,
and
they took them first. I mean, so let's be real.
They were on
They stole them back.
They gave them back. Anyway, let's finish up here. Vinny P out for the year. I mean, he wasn't doing anything fantastic anyway. I mean, he was a solid player.
Come on, Joe. Be real. The major downside of him being out for the year, we can no longer see the Sasquatch coming out anymore.
Yep.
But I mean, now, you know, now they're going to be sliding in Nick Prado at first. I mean, he's not anything great. I mean, the Royals is a pretty miserable offense, unfortunately. You know, Sal Perez and Bobby Witt are kind of the only two doing anything. Melendez should be doing more. We talked about this many times. His Statcast page is like bright red, which is a good thing. But he just swings and misses too much. So, like, the one blue is his K rate. but, yeah, I mean,
so that. So, let's just quickly ask. So, if you are out there right now, somebody who's owned in, well, and this might be a little hint of what we might be talking about in the waiver show coming up. Somebody who's owned in single digits in across all the leagues. Ryan O'Hearn is on a heater right now. For the Baltimore Orioles. So absolutely, that would be my guy to pick up. Right now, his with 73 at-bats, 5 home runs, 19 RBIs, only 19 Ks. I mean, you know, that's somebody who's going to get me. He's hitting .286. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to sustain it, but that's definitely somebody that I would go out and pick up.
I think if you lost Vinny P and you were kind of relying on him, you're going to be streaming first base for a little while until you kind of find somebody. Nolan Jones could be out there. He's sort of starting to heat up a little bit. I mean,
he plays in Colorado. Hey, so,
Marcana? Sure, why not? Like, I mean, there's just dudes. Like, first base is kind of all over the place. I mean, Ryan Noda had like a moment there for a while, and I mean, I don't know if it's still working for him, you know. But
sir, are you talking about Ryan the Noda from the Oakland A's?
I am.
Okay, because yes, it's still working for him. How dare you, sir?
Sorry.
He hit a home run. He hit a home run.
I will say, as much fun as it is to poke fun at the Oakland A's, they've been on a tear.
Thank you.
They want to keep beating Tampa Bay for us? That would be fantastic.
The loss.
Keep going.
Yeah, thanks to that seven-game win streak.
Seven straight, and then they lost last night was the breaker.
They are no longer on pace to lose the most games. Congratulations, Oakland.
Yay.
The Royals took them over as worst team, too, with that seven-game win streak. So that's always nice.
Yeah. But next piece of news, another injury. We got Haniger. Surprise, he's injured again. Forearm surgery. They're saying timetable is anywhere between 3 and 6 months. So likely done for the year. Yeah. I mean, he honestly wasn't doing a whole lot this year, unfortunately. He was already injured once, wasn't he? Or am I thinking it's somebody else?
No, he probably was. Look, we talked about him in the team previews, right? Because I thought if anybody could figure out kind of the way to fix Haniger, the Giants could, because they just have a way of working out with veterans that don't make any sense together, and they somehow make them all work. Yeah. But that call looks awful, along with the Cardinals. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. And Haniger, look, we joke about him all the time, but when he's healthy, he's been great, especially with the Mariners. He's shown that he could be a top flight outfielder, but when he gets hurt, it's dunzo. Like it's not like a, you know, a sprained ankle. It's again, forearm surgery type of situation. It's really sad, but I will never draft Haniger. I will stream him off free agency, but never pick him up.
He wasn't doing anything great anyway. I mean, he only had 4 bombs on the year. The power just wasn't really there. And this is in 148 at bats, 40 games, .230 batting average. It just wasn't working for him this year. And then, you know, he got the injury. So time to cut bait. Oh, well, moving on. Time to wrap up the show. You got one more thing to say.
Where were you when I was breaking up with girls in high school, man? Like, you're just that's it. Move on.
We're good. Done. Peace.
Have fun.
And we're done.
Reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where he goes, the chick goes, I want to break up. Oh, that's fine. Things turn around. I'll be good.
Like that.
Right. So that is it for the show, everybody. Thank you for watching and listening. Unless Dap and AJ want to do one by themselves, I think we are going to be off next week. And then the following week, we will be kicking off our football shows for the rest of the year. So might have to say goodbye to Dap, unfortunately. But we're going to try to figure out another way to get Dap into some more baseball videos here, because I know we all enjoy having him on air with us. So we'll figure something out and get him on our YouTube channel a little bit more. But with that being said, thank you for listening and watching. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave those comments, and become an all-access member at Fantasy Six Pack. Have a good night, everyone. See ya.
Bye now.
Thank you.